You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A Girl Like Her, a new film that opens locally tomorrow, takes a somewhat unusual approach to the subject of high school bullying. It looks at the problem not only from the victim's point of view, but also from the perspective of the bully herself by focusing on a pair of high school sophomores, Avery, who's among the most popular girls in school, and the more bookish Jessica, who's driven to despair by Avery's relentless harassment. With me to discuss it is Amy S. Weber, who wrote and directed the film. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
What got you thinking about telling this story from both of these perspectives?
Well, I've worked a lot with young people in my career the last 20 years. I've been telling stories on both ends of the spectrum, from victim to abuser. And the one component that has been, or the one theme that has been repetitive in those relationships and that I've formed with these young people are the stories that they tell me about this silent voice not being heard. From the victim's perspective, it's having nowhere to turn, not knowing how to express what's going on. From an abuser's perspective, it is not being able to identify the pain that they're feeling, and it's just anger that's built up and that having no understanding of that. So I think it was a collective of my understanding of both sides of this issue and wanting to expose that to our society.
Aren't many people reluctant to try to see these situations from the bully's point of view because the bullies are the bad guys?
Absolutely. That's how we're socialized, and that's what our belief system is.
And you're saying we have to understand them?
I think in order to make some changes that are necessary, and if we really want to solve this issue, how can we ignore that perspective? How can we not dive in and understand it? It's a multi-layered issue. This isn't just a monster. This is a child. It is a child in their formative years. And ignoring the fact that their behavior, and we just want to get rid of them. We want to punish them. Eye for an eye. Punch them in the nose. There are so many responses, reactions that people have, and I understand those. As protectors, I do understand those.
Well, perhaps from a personal point of perspective, because I've heard that you had your own experiences with bullying on both sides.
I did, yes. At 6 years old, I was brutally bullied by a classmate who would take me when I'd get to his house. He would threaten me. He would hurt me physically, lock me in trundle beds, lock me in closets, trunks of cars. And eventually it escalated to him throwing me down face first into the cement when he was unsure about if I was going to go home or not. And it damaged my four front teeth.
Were you, could you have avoided it?
That's an interesting question because I could have. But there's a dynamic that goes on between victim and abuser. There's a relationship there. And with him, I really believed that he was my friend. I didn't understand why he was hurting me. I grew up with two loving sisters who would never hurt me. So this was at 6 years old. I could not process this. And I just remember certain aspects of it. So I don't really know why I kept going back.
But then, lady, you found yourself bullying other children.
I did. When we moved cities, when I was just 7 years old, I took on a new perspective myself, and that was I was not going to let anyone hurt me again. So I became the tough girl. I became the girl that nobody wanted to mess with, and that reputation lived with me for a very, very long time. And I can't say I was very happy.
Well, can you remember what it felt like to be a bully? Did you feel empowered?
At times, absolutely. You feel like when you can control other people and they won't look in your direction and see your true identity. They see what you put in front, you know, that front that you put on, that mask that you wear. And I had a lot of pain. I struggled with a lot of things when I was young, and I didn't want people to know. So I hid through that anger.
In talking about this film, there are lots of potential spoilers, so stop me if you don't want me to say something.
Okay.
Although your film is a work of fiction, it's filmed quite convincingly in the style of a documentary. And sometimes I caught myself, because I hadn't read any of the publicity material, thinking maybe it was a documentary and then questioning myself, partly because the acting is so extraordinary. But why did you decide to shoot it that way?
because we were telling four different perspectives, and I thought it was so important to see this story from all different angles. You have the filmmaker's angle because they're here at the school at South Brookdale High School in this celebratory moment of being ranked 10th in the country. So during the shining moment of what seems to be a perfect school, this tragedy is unfolding. And so through that perspective, you're seeing it through the one camera. Then you have the victim, Jessica's camera, which is a hidden camera that she's wearing that is documenting all the bullying behind the scenes. Her best friend, Brian Slater, has his own camera documenting what's going on with her.
Did you actually have the actress film, or
yes,
is that all faked?
Jimmy Bennett, who plays Brian Slater, he worked his own camera. And Avery Keller was played by Hunter King. She works her own camera.
You mentioned that they're all classmates at a large, high-achieving Michigan public high school. Is it important that the school is so highly regarded because we tend to think of high-achieving kids as less likely to engage in this kind of activity?
I think so. I think the reason I chose that storyline or that backstory was the fact that what sometimes appears on the outside to be perfect is the direct opposite of that.
And in the film, you have left it a little unclear exactly what turned the bully Avery against Jessica. Maybe a misunderstanding about cheating on a test, and maybe not. Have young people told you that there's not always an obvious reason for the bullying that they give or receive?
Yes. Sometimes they have no idea how it started. In a lot of ways, even abusers will share, "She just bugs me. I don't know why." And I think there's the, you know, it's that psychological, mental health component of the fact that we don't like in others what they mirror back to us and what we don't like of ourselves. And I think in this story in particular, it was a misunderstanding that Avery assumed that Jessica was covering her paper in a math test and started it all. But there was definitely a much larger picture here behind the story.
Well, that's a minor excuse, and it wouldn't necessarily lead to bullying unless there were other reasons that a kid wants to bully. My guest is Amy S. Weber, who has written and directed a film called A Girl Like Her about high school bullying, and it's quite realistic. I've read that you initially wanted to cast non-actors for the film. Why did you realize that he'd be better off with more experienced actors playing the parts?
I spent the entire summer casting in Michigan where we shot the film and wanted the most authentic story that I could possibly capture. And because the entire film is unscripted, when I wrote the screenplay, I did not write any dialogue. Real people, because I've worked with so many real people in the educational films that I've done over the last 20 years, that was my first goal. But bringing in Hunter, Lexi, and Jimmy proved that these characters needed to be, they had to be more than one-dimensional. They had to be able to capture and really demonstrate the emotions that go with this.
So it wasn't scripted, partly because you wanted the kids to talk the way kids normally talk?
Wanted them to use their language and bring their own personal experiences with this to the film.
How much improvisation was there as a result?
100%. The entire film is unscripted.
The film's plot seems quite complicated if you try to discuss it, but it evolves quite naturally in the film. How long did it take you to put all those pieces together with something that was improvised? Oh, you did have an outline.
I had a screenplay. So I wrote a traditional screenplay, but instead of dialogue, there was a detailed description of how the scene played out, what the motive for the scene and the end goal was for the scene. So we shot it in 17 days. So we had a lot of footage. Some incredible moments on film took place during the shooting of this film.
Some that didn't make it into the film?
Well, of course.
I understand you based Jessica, the victim here, loosely on Phoebe Prince, the 15-year-old Irish girl who's living in Massachusetts who hanged herself in 2009 after she'd been bullied for several months. It feels like there have been so many stories like this in the past few years. Was there something specific about Phoebe's story that grabbed you?
I had been following these stories over the past couple of decades and knowing that I was going to eventually do a film on this. Phoebe's story, when I started developing Jessica Burns, Phoebe just came to me. It was kind of like she was calling to me in a lot of ways. And she moved, her story moved me. Just her story alone and her innocence is really what I wanted Jessica to embrace. And I believe she did.
Of course, the bullying isn't just limited to teenagers. Monica Lewinsky spoke recently at a TED Talk about the suffering she's endured because of cyberbullying. Have you been following that story? Did it strike a nerve?
That story was shared with me, and I read a little bit about it, and I can understand what Monica endured. Not only those, I mean, she will never live down that experience. And I think people innately are just not, they're not cruel. I don't believe this. But the internet and being able to anonymously write something out to someone and not really understanding what it does to the person on the other side, I feel for her. I feel for everyone that receives those types of messages.
Well, we also pick and choose who to bully. For example, what she did isn't all that different from what a lot of groupies did with rock stars. And yet, some of them have written books talking about how much fun it was.
Sure.
She, unfortunately, as a kid, wound up with a president of the United States. I understand that you're going to make this film available to schools after it is shown in theaters?
Our hope is that we tour the country and parts of the world because we know this is an epidemic that goes way beyond our borders. And hopefully, we want the young people to bring this movie to their schools.
Well, this is a story film, and it functions as such. But do you also see yourself as an educational filmmaker?
I do. That's my background. And it means a lot that people identify and recognize me as that, is that I'm a storyteller who does not exploit children, instead tell their stories and with the most authentic voice.
Your actors here are all quite effective. Have they gotten new jobs as a result of appearing in this film?
I do believe that their careers may have a turn if they want it. They're all so gifted, all of the actors in the film. My three main casts came from L.A., and the rest of the cast were from Michigan, and most of them were non-actors.
A Girl Like Her opens tomorrow at the Regal Cinemas Ewok on 42nd Street, at the AMC Lowe's Village 7 on 3rd Avenue, the AMC Lowe's on 19th Street and Broadway. Now, just one more thing before you leave. Don't you have daughters? Has working on this affected the kinds of things you talk with them about?
Absolutely. From day one, starting this project, my daughters, I call them my peacekeepers, and that's the program that we're hoping follows this film, is our peacekeeper movement that can be found on the website, because we know that inspiration only lasts so long, and we'd like that inspiration to be turned into action. And so my daughters are kind of on the front line at their school with compassion and understanding when they run into someone who seems unworthy of love and kindness. They share that with them, and I'm very proud of them for that.
Amy Weber, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.